none of us are victims to sin anymore if we know Jesus Christ, because our old self was crucified with him so that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Jesus has broken the power of sin in our lives. Not to love.
Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled Free. Let's listen in as J.P. gives part two of Dead and Alive.
In the book of Titus, Paul, writing to a young man, Titus, who was a spiritual leader over a whole group of churches, in Titus chapter 2, Paul says, the grace of God has appeared. It brings salvation to all men. And it instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. In this famous passage in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul talks about how salvation can never be accomplished by works, it's only by the grace of God. He says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. But the next verse says, and we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared beforehand, before all eternity. In other words, this grace that literally forgives all of our sins, this grace that's greater than any of our sin, it transforms us, it changes us, it makes us new people. There's a connection between experiencing grace, real grace in your life, and then living a new life. Verse 3, Paul says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Paul is going to argue something based on baptism, but he's going to argue it based upon an assumed knowledge. In fact, three times in this passage in Romans 6, he mentions the word know. He says in verse 3, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. And verse 9, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has master over him. Paul is saying that knowledge means something. Knowledge means liberty. Knowledge means transformation. You know the old statement, ignorance is bliss? It's wrong. Spiritually speaking, ignorance is bondage. Ignorance is bondage. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Yeah. See, we all want to be set free. But it's rooted in knowing the truth. And the word here for know, as it's used in this passage, in three times in this passage, is from the Greek term gnosis. It's where we get that idea of Gnostic. You probably have heard in the news, you know, the Gnostic Gospels, this Gospel of Judas that's been discovered as part of the Gnostic Gospels. The Gnostics were a group of people who claimed to have special knowledge. Their special knowledge was in complete contradiction to the teaching of the New Testament and to the belief of the early church. But they said because they had this special knowledge, that's what you really needed in order to have a relationship with God. That word Gnostic is from that Greek word gnosis. And the Greek word gnosis is a special kind of knowledge. It's not just intellectual, factual knowledge. There's a couple of my students here from Biola. We have a theology class. There's certain facts in theology you got to learn. You discuss them. You give definitions. You define terms. You've got to learn those facts. You memorize those facts. You take a test, and you regurgitate those facts. You can know theology, but not know God. Because God isn't known merely by memorizing certain statements of truth or knowing certain definitions. God is known in relationship. There's a Greek word that talks about knowledge in terms of just facts. It's the Greek word oida. And there's an importance to knowing certain facts if those facts can be translated into relationship and experience. But when the Bible talks about knowing God and knowing truth in a life-changing way, it uses this term gnosis because it's knowing something through experience. When I took driver education in high school, I took his driver education class. We learned about the facts of driving. We saw certain films that kind of taught us how to drive efficiently and warned us about driving, you know, too fast. There was, you know, wheels of tragedy and red asphalt, you know, put that fear in you that you won't speed. And you took certain tests, and we even took practice tests of the driving code so that when we took our driver's license test, we could pass the written test. But you could take driver education. That doesn't mean you know how to drive. You know about driving. There's another class you take, driver training. You actually sit in the car behind the wheel and you practice driving until the instructor feels that you've satisfied the requirements and you actually know how to drive. You learn to drive by driving. Paul is saying in Romans chapter 6, there's some things we need to know, not just know about, not just know theoretically, but actually know because we've entered into them in experience and in relationship. It's not just head knowledge, it's heart knowledge. And he's making an argument based upon an assumption that we have a certain heart knowledge of a truth. And what is the truth? Verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? He's saying this. Baptism, which by the way, in the New Testament is the outward expression of coming into new life in Christ. We have different faith traditions today, and among us here, we probably have different traditions and personal experiences as it relates to baptism. But in the New Testament, when you reduce it back to its original form, whenever a person came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, they were baptized immediately because it represented a transition from an old life to a new life. And it was a vivid reminder to every person that I actually became a new person. Because I went under the water and I came up out of the water. I remember that experience. So the argument in Romans 6 about baptism isn't trying to say that baptism per se, that is having water sprinkled on you or poured on you or hosed on you, does anything. It's the actual experience of being identified with Jesus Christ that baptism represents. His argument is this. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When you became a Christian, Paul says, you actually got identified with Christ's death. It wasn't just an intellectual shift. It was a deeply, spiritually transforming event where because of God's grace, you actually died with Christ. If we don't know who we are, the truth can't set us free. Ignorance isn't bliss. It's bondage. It'd be like Paul like arguing in a present day context. If someone was a graduating senior from high school and trying to figure out what they want to do in the future, and a recruiter from the Marine Corps came and gave a presentation, and they felt motivated by the challenge of duty and the value of patriotic service, and they go down and they talked further and they learned all the implications. They signed up and they enlisted in the Marine Corps. And then as part of the incentive program of enlisting in the Marine Corps, they got a 30-day leave and they got an advance bonus check, and they were able to go, you know, at the Marine Corps' expense anywhere, you know, around the continental U.S. And so they took advantage of that and they enjoyed that. But they also knew at the end of the 30 days, they had to report for basic training. If at the end of the 30 days, they just went back home and kind of said, well, I think I'll look for a summer job now and figure out what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. At some point, Uncle Sam wouldn't forget. And he'd come and say, hey, you got to honor what you signed up for. Didn't you know that when you signed up and you got those incentives, that there was a commitment involved? Of course I knew. Well, you got to follow through on it. Paul says, don't you know that when you open up your heart to the grace of God and all of its forgiveness, there's a commitment involved. There's a life-changing commitment involved, which involves a life of identification with Jesus Christ. We have died to sin, Paul argues. Verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism and death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Again, he's following with this motif of baptism, and he's following the pattern of the New Testament baptism, and that was full immersion. So he says, when you went under the water, you died. When you came up out of the water, you were raised to newness of life. It's a metaphor. It's a pattern, because baptism is a outward experience that points back to the reality of what happened when you became a Christian. Well, what happened when you became a Christian? You died and were made alive. dead and alive. If you've been with us for any amount of time, you've seen some of our baptisms here. You know, one of the great things being a new church, we get to kind of create our own new traditions. And we have celebrated after worship services here outside on the patio, gathering everybody together with, a little inflatable pool and standing out in the water, inviting people to come in, young and old. And you've probably been thrilled as people just share honestly their own experience of how Christ came in their life and gave them new life, and they experienced forgiveness and hope, and they want to follow Jesus with the rest of their life. And kind of with cheers and shouts and applauses, we take the person and we take them under the water and bring them back up out of the water. Paul's saying that kind of imagery needs to resonate with you to realize that salvation is about dying with Christ and being raised up with Christ. We've been raised up to live a new life. That same grace that's greater than any of our sins has implanted within us a whole new life principle. We've died and we've been raised up with Christ. So he says in verse 5, if you've been united with him in his death, we'll certainly be united with him in his resurrection. Verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. He again appeals to a knowledge, an assumption of what you should know. And what we should know is this, our old self. Well, who's the old self? Literally, it's the old man. It's not talking about your dad. It says the old man was crucified with him. Well, who in the heck is the old man? Well, you got to step away and remember the context. And in Romans chapter 5, he was arguing that there's two spiritual histories. There's a history in Adam, and then for the new person in Christ, there's a history in Christ. The old man is kind of who we were in Adam, just dead in sin, cut off from the life of God, separated from God. What God has done is he's given us a whole new spiritual identity. He's taken our old spiritual identity and he crucified us with Christ so that we could have new spiritual life. That's why Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We had old life. That old life was crucified with Jesus Christ so that our body of sin might be done away with, it says. The body of sin is just how sin is in this body. The next chapter, when we look at Romans chapter 7, says, as long as we're in this body, there's going to be a spiritual struggle. It's not that the body's evil, but there's a principle of sin, a vulnerability towards sin, a propensity to sin within all of us. The Bible calls it the sin nature or the flesh or the body of sin. What God has done is he has crucified the old man so that this body of sin might be done away with. Now, that word done away with is the Greek word katargeo. Katargeo literally means to render powerless. It doesn't mean to eradicate or destroy, because it's still here and it screams real loud. But it's been rendered powerless. That's the whole point. Its power over us has been broken. Picture this. Picture if from the moment you can remember, your earliest memories, you had a chain around your ankle and in that chain was a big steel ball. So you've been carrying your whole life dragging this chain and steel ball. And that, you know, that at a certain point, that became really painful on your leg and it was just easier to pick it up. So you would actually pick it up and every time you wanted to go somewhere, you'd carry this huge steel ball with you and you'd set it down. And then when you want to go somewhere else, you'd pick it up and you'd walk and you'd set it down. One thing happened. At some time while you were sleeping, somebody came and they unlocked the chain from your ankle. It's not locked to you anymore. You'd been set free. But you're so used to picking it up and carrying it and so used to thinking that it's locked there, you wake up that morning and without even thinking about it, you know what you do? You reach over and you pick that steel ball up and you continue to carry it. And somebody says, what are you doing? Well, I'm carrying the steel ball. Why? Well, because it's chained to my ankle. And they said, well, look, it's not chained. You don't have to carry it anymore. You know what God did? He broke the power of sin in our lives. Our old self was crucified with him that our body of sin might be done away with so that we'd no longer be slaves to sin. But if you don't know that, you know what you're going to do instinctively? Pick up that steel ball. If you don't know that, you're going to pick it up because you think it's chained to you. God says that power has been broken. None of us are victims to sin anymore if we know Jesus Christ. Because our old self was crucified with him so that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Jesus has broken the power of sin in our lives. So it comes back to this question, shall we go on sinning so that grace might increase? Paul says, no. Why? We died to sin. Sin's power has been broken. We've been identified with Jesus Christ. We have new spiritual life in Christ. Paul says, it's not just a matter of death, it's a matter of life also. And so he argues in Romans 6, starting at verse 8, now if we've died with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. See, we have died and been made alive. There's the question, shall we go on sinning that grace might increase? There's the answer, no, not at all. Because that grace that forgives all your sin gives you new life. You've died with Jesus Christ. You've died to sin's control, and you have new life in Jesus Christ. And then there's a simple application. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it's simple. Verse 11, in the same way. Well, in the same way as what? In the same way that Christ died, rose again. In the same way that that's true for him, it's also true for us. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. For all of you Bible trivia people, this is the first command in the entire book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, no command. Romans chapter 2, no command. Romans chapter 3, no command. Romans chapter 4, no command. Romans chapter 5, no command. Romans 6, 11, the very first command. In other words, six chapters of truth, doctrine, theology. And here's the first thing we ought to do about it. The first command, count yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The command is from the Greek word legizomai. It's an accounting term. It means to mark down in the books. Now, whenever we start talking about accounting, I'm in trouble because I barely passed accounting in college. In fact, I took accounting my freshman year in college. I got an F on the first midterm. I got a D+ on the second midterm. This guy who taught accounting was the most boring guy. He'd kind of stand up there and he'd look over the top of our heads and he'd just look at the top of your head and he'd go, FIFO, first in, first out, LIFO, life, last in, first, last out. And it's just like this noise coming at me. And it was like the most boring class I've ever taken. But after an F and a D+, I thought, I'm in serious problems here. So I went to a graduate student and studied, just studied, memorized. And the final was cumulative. Well, I've already got an F and a D+ on the first two, but it was cumulative. And I had this, you know, pretty good short-term memory. So I absorbed all of this information that I forgot the very next day. But I got an A on the final. I ended up getting a C in the class. But I don't think you have to be an expert in accounting or even have an accounting class to understand this principle. If you own a business and you receive payment, you take the check and you deposit it. And then you go to your books and you write in the amount of check that you deposited. Writing it in does not make the money yours magically. Just because you wrote it in doesn't make it true. You write it into books. Why? Because it is true. You record in the books what is actually true. You receive $100, you write in a book $100. Writing it in the book is just acknowledging what is actual fact. That's what the word legizomai means. To acknowledge what is an actual fact. And he's taken it from the accounting realm and applies it to the spiritual realm. And what is the fact? Romans 6, 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Why do we count ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus? Because we are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's acknowledging what God says is true. The truest thing about you is what God says is true. The truest thing about you is what God says is true. The truest thing about you is what God says is true. And what does God say is true in Romans chapter 6? That we have died with Christ and we've been raised up with Christ. Salvation is so awesome that not only has grace wiped out all of our sins, forgiven us for all of our sins, it has given us a new spiritual position, a new spiritual life. What is true, what we're to count as true, is that we've died and we've been made alive. And for every person here who knows Jesus Christ, that's what's true about you. You've died and you've been made alive in Christ. See, for the person who wants to use grace as a free pass for sin, you don't understand what Jesus did for you. And you don't understand what's true about you as a new person in Christ. For the person who's desperate for life change, for the person who wants to get out of the hole that they've been, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus has made you a brand new person, and there is hope. You don't have to be a victim anymore. You can live out of the newness of life that Jesus Christ has made possible, because the truest thing about you is what God says is true. You are dead and you've been made alive. And so the application for us is to see ourselves as God sees us. To see ourselves as God sees us, and to count ourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653, or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment. But before we do that, Pastor JP, do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. Do you know the good news of the gospel is not only are our sins forgiven, but we have power over sin to live a new life. Romans chapter 6 says this, we have died to sin, we've been made alive with Christ Jesus. We've been identified with Christ's death and resurrection. And the truest thing about us is what God says is true. And what God says is this, we died with Jesus Christ and we were raised up with Jesus Christ. Within every believer is new resurrection life. Within us today as followers of Jesus Christ is the very power of Christ's resurrection to have victory over sin. Not only are we forgiven, not only do we have new life, we have new life to give us spiritual victory. That's what Romans 6 says. And so the command, the very first command in the whole book of Romans is this, consider yourself to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. In other words, the first thing that God tells us to do after telling us all the truth of the gospel is to believe it. To believe it, to consider it to be true, to look to what God says is true, to be truly true. You know, sometimes I think what we really need as Christians is to believe our beliefs. It's to take God at His word and to put it into practice. That's what faith is. Faith is taking God at His word and putting it into practice. And that's what Romans 6 tells us to do. Take God at His word. Believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Believe that we died with Jesus Christ. Believe that we were raised up with Jesus Christ and put it into practice. To consider ourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's the whole call of Romans 6, verses 1 to 11. We have new life in Christ. We're to believe it to be true, and we're to live it out. If that's your desire, I invite you to pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I believe my beliefs. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe I have new life to have victory over sin today. And so I ask you to live your resurrection life in me and through me. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth That Changes Lives. The Cross.